It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Laker Hockey Talk. Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten. And Damon, Bemidji State coming in this weekend, a little bit different team than you just played at Bowling Green. This one's not as heavy and as aggressive, but very quick, moves the puck well, doesn't hang on to the puck very long. It's going to be a totally different type of hockey game for the Lakers.
Yeah, it really is. A lot different feel for it, and that can be challenging, you know, week to week as you make subtle adjustments. You know, we're the Lakers. We want to be who we are and play to our strengths and, you know, impose our will upon the game. But it is a much different feel in terms of some of the ways we have to play, you know, both on our forecheck and our offensive zone possession time. So it is. It's interesting as you go week to week, and you know, you throw a lot at your players, and you ask them to retain a lot. Again, structurally, we're not change a ton, but the way you do it within your structure really is a much different feel here. So a very well coached team. They play with a lot of pace to their game. As you said, they underhandle a lot of pucks, so it has a different feel. You don't get a lot of that zone time that all guys typically like to play with. You know, you like to be in the zone, you like to hang on to pucks. They make it really difficult because you know, that thing's not on their stick very long to force turnovers or to have possession, things like that. So a different feel, but a really exciting weekend of hockey. We obviously owe them in a major way from what happened a couple weeks back, and that's got to be forefront of our minds as well.
Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago, November 8th and 9th. Lakers played at Bemidji, got beat 7-1, 5-1, probably our worst losses of the season, and I think we were a little bit surprised by that. What did Bemidji State do that really caused us to have no fortune there at all?
Well, it's interesting, you know, when you look at Saturday's game, you know, we didn't give much up. It just everything they threw near the net, you know, a couple high tips that got in, you know, power play goal that went in. You know, we weren't nearly as bad as the score indicates, and that's been a little bit of our story as of late. So I think we only gave up 9 or 10 grade A's. You know, maybe should be one goal against, but it's been that for us a little bit, where things end up in the back of our net way too easily. You know, Friday night, you know, I'm not sure. I thought they came out with a little bit more after a good start. You know, our first 4 or 6 minutes, we were really good. We had 3-4 grade A's early on. I think guys felt like maybe it was going to be easy coming off that sweep of Ferris State. And, you know, then they turned it on and got after us. I thought they were a little bit more desperate, a little bit more competitive. You know, we've talked since then. I think that that playoff sweep is in the back of their head. They had something to prove. And, you know, we weren't able to turn it around and stop the floodgates there. So, you know, that's been us a little bit. You know, we have not been able to do a good enough job of keeping the puck out of the back of our net. You know, we're getting some goaltending now, which is good. Merrick's is rounding into form, which is a really positive thing. We've got to be a lot better in front of him and be great defensively to give ourselves a chance, as we did Saturday night. And, you know, that's the effort we need every night.
You know, we talked on the Laker Hockey Show on Tuesday what it took to beat Bowling Green in that game on Saturday night, 3-1. It was a control the puck, control the walls, hit, play really hard and aggressive and tough. That's not necessarily how you're going to beat a team like Bemidji State. The controlling the walls, they just throw the puck away. They'll throw it up the ice and try to outskate you for it. And that's what I mean by a totally different type of game. We're going to have to be a little bit more able to move the puck out of our zone and play our game, make them play our game instead of the other way around.
Yeah, that's probably a great point. I think that's what, going back to the playoffs last year, we were able to do that really sharp with our zone exits, and now they're chasing the game all night long. I thought we did a lot better job last year in the playoffs playing above them, you know, defensively without the puck, because of that, the mindset they have where they're going to hard wrap it, they're going to chip glass and set up those foot races. You know, we didn't have that. You know, I didn't have us prepared well enough to play that way and have our guys buy into that style of play. So, and again, it can be a little bit frustrating because you don't have the possession time that you often have or like to have as a player. But it's winning hockey that way. It's kind of almost like for a lot of our, you know, those of you who follow football, it's a field possession kind of game. You know, you're gonna try to control the clock a little bit. You're gonna try to own possession. So we've got to play on the right side of pucks and be a little bit more patient in our approach.
Look at these two teams, and Bemidji State's probably got more scoring throughout its lineup than the Lakers. The Lakers have some guys who are having good years, in my opinion. Max Humitz, the senior's been really good. He's got 8 goals right now, 14 points. Hampus Erickson, the junior, has just 2 goals, but he's got 11 assists. He's set up a lot of goals, 13 points. Ashton Calder, the sophomore, has 4 goals and 11 points. Colin Sackleman's got 9 points, and 6 of those are goals. You look over at Bemidji State, Adam Brady, the senior, leads them. He's got 7 for 14. That ties him with Humitz. They also have a guy with 13 points, just like Erickson. That's Aaron Miller with 6 goals and 7 assists. But they have a lot of points right throughout their lineup. Their lowest scoring guy has like 3 points. We have a few guys who don't have any points right now who've played every game, but that could be a difference too. But I think evenly matched here. They don't take penalties though, and the Lakers average about 12 minutes a game. They average 9 minutes a game, or maybe 8 minutes a game in penalties. So they're a team that stays out of the box, and you know, you don't want special teams to be the game. I think the Lakers are a really good team 5-on-5.
Yeah, you know what? We're not really good yet. We're trying to get there. You know, we've shown some good flashes, and you know, have had some good wins when we put it together 5-on-5 in all facets. Yeah, I agree with you. We're a pretty good team. We just have not been consistent enough in all those facets and all those areas to get it done consistently. So our special teams has been one of those issues. We have not been as good as we need to be. You know, part of that, some of the pieces and looking for still the right guys to own those roles, you know, to be a great penalty killer, consistency, to grab some of those minutes of the Kuglietas and the Nellises, guys that have moved on, that were key guys, engaged Terrell, you know, Braden Gelsinger, you know, that's 4 really key guys that are not in our lineup right now. Now Braden will be back, you know, hopefully sooner than later, but that's a lot of pieces to replace, both on the penalty kill, power play, and I think we're still working our way, you know, trying to do that, and have not done a good enough job as a staff to identify the right people and put the right structure in place. But I thought Saturday was a big step for us. We won special teams for maybe only the second or third game all season long. Our penalty kill was tremendous, especially down the stretch. We had to kill off nearly 7 minutes straight on the Sockerman Major, and the guy stepped up and got that done in crunch time, and we scored 2 power play goals. That was a difference in the game. And so, yeah, special teams really are a big focus right now, and you know, we need to continue to take big steps in those areas.
Well, your penalty killing was outstanding on Saturday night at Bowling Green. You had to kill 7 minutes in penalties in that third period alone with a 2-1 lead at the time. That's not easy, but maybe the fact that it was 2-1, everybody just gave it everything they had to kill that penalty. They didn't want to give up that dying goal.
Yeah, and probably a good mindset to learn from it. I mean, whether you're up 1 goal or it's late in the game, I mean, that's the way you have to play, no matter the situation, no matter the score. You know, and again, I failed to get our team to do that consistently enough. So you can learn from that, and you can harness that. Not only did we do it then, but again, Sockerman, one of our key penalty kill guys, one of our best shot blockers, was showing the gate on that play. So it was a good step. You know, that creates some buy-in, creates some belief, and you know, really good teaching points to show guys what it takes to be successful. So that is a good springboard for the way we have to play, not only in the penalty kill, but 5-on-5.
Goaltending, it looks like no contest on paper. Zach Driscoll's outstanding, the junior goaltender for Bemidji State. 94 save percentage, which is spectacular. 1.59 the goals against average. He's only allowed 16 goals all this season when he's been playing, and he's played all but 2 games. You look at Merricks, he's been struggling most of this year, although he's played really well of late. Statistically, though, he's at 87%, which is nothing to write home about. 3.45 the goals against average, but he's been much better the last 3-4 hockey games. I think his worst game was probably at Notre Dame, but yeah, he's been good since then.
Yeah, and I don't think he's struggled all year. I don't think he's gotten a lot of support, our goaltenders in general, at times. You know, we've had key breakdowns. We've had, you know, things go in way too easy, not necessarily on our goaltenders. So, you know, there was 1 or 2 off games, and then a couple games where, you know, he just didn't get the support he needed in front of him, or you know, maybe Roman in the games Roman got as well. So, you know, but do we need more from that position? Absolutely. You know, if you're going to be successful, that's obviously the most important position on the ice. You're going to need to get those numbers up, and I think he's rounding into form. He's had a couple good Saturdays back-to-back now. You know, he hasn't played a lot of back-to-back games in college hockey, so this is a little bit new to him. And I think he's getting going there, which is really important for us. So, yes, we need more. I think Merrick's has that ability, and then we're looking forward to him to continue to move forward. And certainly Roman and Seth are right there as well, looking to get their opportunities. And, you know, when those arise or when that situation comes.
Yeah, we haven't seen Seth Eisley yet. He has not played a game for the Lakers. He's a big kid. He's 6'5". He spreads out and covers a lot of net, but maybe needs to work on some angles and on getting up and down more quickly, etc. But he's raw material right now, and Zach Cizik likes him and thinks he's going to be a good goaltender.
Yeah, well, he is. He is a good goaltender. You know, he also had a setback this summer. He wasn't able to train much this summer due to some hip issues, and was working on getting those straightened out and fixed up, and which he was able to do. But it cost him the summer in terms of strength and cardio. I'm not sure how many people equate goaltender needing, you know, a great strength base, but all that core movement is so critical, and explosiveness down low is really critical to the position. So Seth, you know, not totally surprised by us. We did think it'd take a little bit of time for him to adjust to our game and to build that and recover from the summer, basically. So, you know, I think he's really rounding into form. He's been practicing much better, much more consistently, and a lot of that's because his conditioning and strength level is increasing so much. So he's tracking up, and that's important for us to have him there pushing.
Lakers playing Bemidji State this weekend at home. Take advantage of a great offer for Friday night. It's right after Thanksgiving. You can get 6 tickets for $18, $3 a ticket. That's a great opportunity for fans listening in, or family people who come to home for Thanksgiving and looking for something to do on the Friday night. There you go. Laker hockey, Division I ice hockey up at Able Arena against Bemidji. And those tickets, that's a great price.
Yeah, Blair, your first Black Friday, you know, come fight the crowds off at Taffy Able, or escape the crowds maybe, but, you know, a good chance Black Friday to stop in and take advantage of that. You know, it's important. You know, we're back home. You know, we're aware, obviously, that the majority of our students will be out of town, back home with their families celebrating Thanksgiving. So, you know, we're really asking our fans to come out and you know, bring their friends, bring their family that are around for the holidays, and then take advantage of that promotion to support this team. And it means a lot to us to get in that building and feed off the energy in Taffy Able Arena.
All righty. We're going to take a break here on our show this morning. We'll hear from our sponsors. We'll be back with more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation. But did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk. Lakers playing Bemidji State University this weekend. The Beavers will be here. They beat the Lakers 7-1, 5-1 just 3 weeks ago at Bemidji. So the Lakers have some things they'd like to avenge this weekend. And is there a chance that we'll have Jacob Nordquist back in the lineup this weekend?
Yeah, we anticipate Jacob, you know, being ready to go. He's been out on the ice for a couple of weeks now and able to take contact and you know, looks like he'll be, you know, really close to playing this weekend and makes a big impact on our team. You notice it, you know, when he first got back for practice, even in a limited or red jersey last week, just the brain, the reads, the skating ability, you know, has a big impact on our team there. So Jacob should be ready to go at some point this weekend, and we're looking forward to getting him back in and going.
From the coaching standpoint now, when you're playing against a team like Bemidji, now you just played them a few weeks ago, so you kind of know what they're going to do or how they're going to play. Do you have to change anything with your forecheck or your defensive zone coverage or your breakout when you play a team like this?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. Again, you want to be careful because we certainly have a style of play that our players, know what we want out of them and the consistency we want in those areas. But, for us, we do make some subtle adjustments to what we're doing. We talked a little bit about the way they underhandle pucks. So one thing we want to make sure we're doing this weekend, which I don't think I did a good enough job preparing our team, was again to play above them. So that will take some subtle adjustments on our forecheck and the way we handle that. And then same thing defensively, they throw everything at the net. They like to switch sides of the ice first touch as well. So our spacing, our communication, our stick habits are all really important to counter the way they play with everything going to the net and funnels and short side plays and things like that. So we're going to be who we are, but certainly some subtle adjustments within that.
Yeah, I would think maybe you might want to have more veteran-type players who've been around a while and know all the different systems you might want to play than to have a first-year player in there. And yet, you got guys like Esposito Selivanov and Bluger have played in recent games and done a pretty good job. So you kind of got to make up your mind. Do you want a skater like Selivanov, or do you want a smart kid who can play systems for you like Ian Johnson, or do you want both of them in there?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think with Nordqvist coming off, there's some decisions there. Is it 6D? Is it 7D? I thought our D-core played extremely well on Saturday night. And so do you even change? Do you give Jacob another game or two to continue to get back to full strength there because of the way those guys played? So there's certainly some decisions to be made and throughout the lineup. You're coming off a really quality win on a tough place to play Saturday night with a lineup that really stepped up and played well. So, I don't think it'll look much different than it did Saturday because those guys, contributed in a really positive way across the board. We had no passengers. Everybody played a strong game. So I do think it'll look very similar to what we saw Saturday night.
Yeah, it's interesting stuff when you get into this time of season, too. I'd like to ask you a question here about coaching philosophy and the people who are playing this game nowadays. I find it very interesting that the Toronto Maple Leafs make a coaching change. They fire Mike Babcock, who's a veteran coach, been around for years and years, coached the Red Wings for 10 years. So he's a good coach. He knows what he's doing. But there's a philosophy now that coaches need to be a lot different than to be taskmasters with players. Would you agree with that? Do you think that there's when you're looking at what you're doing with players, is there a different way to handle today's young players than in the past?
I think yes and no. I think there's in some ways, yes. In some ways, the game doesn't change. And I don't think kids change as much as people talk about it. I think kids are kids, and there's certainly a consistency and accountability that has to be there when you're a part of a team, certainly in a game like hockey that demands a high compete level and a heavy style of play. There's not many teams that can just roll a puck on the ice and go out and wow you with skill and win games with skill. And that's maybe changing a little bit as well with the way everybody's playing with a lot of pace there. But I do think kids today are a little bit different in terms of they're not just going to accept what you say and go do it. They do want to know a little bit more why you're doing it, and teaching them, educating them. Maybe it's more of an educator hat than an old school coach hat. So for us, we've always been big on relationships going into the recruiting process. It's maybe hard to find the time sometimes to get as much time as you want with the kids, but so I don't think it's much of a change for our approach or our philosophy. But I do think it's important. There's a certain basic respect with the way you treat people, whether you're a coach, a teacher, a husband, a parent, that doesn't change. And so for us, I don't think that's much of an issue. And I think it's healthy for our game. When you're looking at some of the Babcock stories that have come out, when you look at the Peter story going on out in Calgary, people are people, whether they're athletes, they're students, you have to treat people the right way. And, to me, it's good for our game if we're getting the right people there to build people up and, to treat them the right way is important. Now they still have to be accountable. They still have to be hard. Those areas are there. So it's a fine line at times, but yeah. To me, I think it's overblown. Hey, kids have changed. I don't know that that's necessarily the truth. yes, some of the way we approach it has to be better and improve. But I think kids are still kids. I think they're willing to play extremely hard for you and commit to you as long as they know why you want that and as long as they know you're giving that back to them. So, you know, I think that's something we strive hard to do with our team, and hopefully that our players feel the same way.
Yeah, it's like having a huge family here when you've got all these players. You got almost 30 players to deal with here. Only 20 can dress for a hockey game. So you're going to have people who aren't playing and they're not going to necessarily be happy. But I guess the key to coaching to me nowadays would be that you've got to be able to read the young people. You know which ones you have to kick in the seat of the pants and which ones you have to cajole and which ones you have to really treat with kid gloves because they react better to that sort of treatment.
Yeah, and I don't think that's, Bill, you've been around long enough. I don't think that's changed a ton.
No, that's always been the way it's been.
Maybe a little bit more kids need more kid gloves, that type of thing. You know, there's more of the build up and the support than there used to be. But, you know, you've always had to have your fingers on the pulse and know when somebody needs a good kick in the rear end, as you mentioned, or to be built back up. So again, maybe it's more the other side of it where it's a little bit more positivity, a little bit more building than it used to be. But that's always been the case. You know, good coaches have always been found a way to relate to their players and pull the most out of them. So I don't think that's a different or a change, you know, and that's probably part of the joy. Like you said, it is a family. You know, these kids are, you know, we sacrifice a lot to be around this program and put so much into it as much as we do, and very blessed to have a wife that understands that, supports that, you know, really hard, challenging at times to give up what I give up with my kids and family. But like you said, there's 30 new kids in that locker room every day, and we try to pour every ounce of ourselves into these guys. And it's hard when you're that bubble guy, when you want to be the guy that's in every night. You know, we want that for that guy as well, but there's 30 of them we want to fight and improve and get in. So it's interesting to see. You know, that's maybe the change in today's world, that patience isn't there. You see kids leaving. I know Union just lost a couple guys, I think that's going to be same thing here. If you're not playing, you're going to look for other opportunities, because ultimately the kids put their whole lives into this and they want to play. So it's a really interesting balancing act that you're juggling on a daily basis.
Well, you've got a couple of interesting things this weekend too, it being Thanksgiving, and we've already talked about the special ticket price for Friday night's game to try to get some local people to come in and watch the Lakers. We don't have students on campus for the most part. They're home for the holiday. But this Bemidji team's coming off a sweep of UAH. They beat Alabama Huntsville both games at Bemidji. They're kind of riding high right now. Lakers are coming off a good high, too, though. That was a great win on Saturday night after, you know, I still have a hard time swallowing that one, trying to figure out how do you lose 5-0 and then come back and win 3-1. But, you know, Bowling Green's kind of been like that. They'll win on Friday, and they've lost three times this season now on the Saturday night game. So let's hope the Lakers can continue this momentum, because you're going to need it against a team that's got momentum right now, and it'll be a great series this weekend.
It is, you know, and a long, long history with Bemidji going back to those national championship NAIA days, and we talked a little bit about that with the team, you know, this week, that, you know, maybe we took them lightly or more so they're looking at last year and a little bit angry coming in, and now we've got to respond. It's our opportunity. So it was a critical win Saturday night in Bowling Green. Guys, you know, are learning more and more every day. It shouldn't take this long, but unfortunately it has in some ways. The approach it takes on a daily basis to be successful at this level is just a total commitment and you know, to doing things the right way. So they're learning, and it's important we apply those lessons tomorrow night. We're looking forward to a great weekend of hockey. Obviously it'll be a great day celebrating. I want to wish all of our fans a happy Thanksgiving, all the listeners, you know, the community. It's such a great community. A lot of fans have taken our players into their houses here later this afternoon. We really appreciate that. And we'd love to see everybody out at Taffy Able, not only Friday, but Saturday as well. So appreciate it, Bill, and have a great Thanksgiving to everybody listening. And we're looking forward to a great weekend. Go
yeah,
Lakers.
A reminder on the game times too. It's 7:05 as usual on Friday night, but then it's going to be a 5:07 start, early start. We'll be on the air at 4:35 with that one on Yes FM on Saturday. And that gives Bemidji a chance to get out of town a little bit early on the holiday weekend, and it gives the Lakers and their fans a chance to see a game earlier. It's an experiment is what it is. A lot of teams are going to this now, and it'll be interesting to play at 5:00 on Saturday.
Yeah, it will be. We're interested. You know, like I said, there's a lot of teams around the league that have done it. We did it years ago at Michigan State under Coach Comley, and there's some really good things about it and maybe some things that people don't like. So we're interested to hear both sides of it, you know, and see what it looks like. I know I think team-wise and then local business-wise, you know, it'd be nice to get out of the rink early enough to go get dinner with the family and support some of our sponsors and things like that. So, you know, we'll see how it goes. And obviously the holiday weekend played in that as well. But, you know, we'll see. You win hockey games, everybody will like it and everybody will be excited about it. So that's the goal. And, you know, we got to get through Friday night with a great effort and then rebound that quick turnaround and regroup a little bit there as well.
All right. That's another Laker Hockey Talk. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Later today should be a good time at everybody's house. And we'll see you this weekend for Laker Hockey. That's Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.